I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. Tonight, I'm joined by Brendan Porath of SB Nation and Sean Martin of the PGA Tour. Guys, thanks. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for the formal intro, man. It makes it feel very official.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me back on.
I know you've been out on intros. You're very. You want to see what the land gives you.
Yeah, it's a special occasion. Calls for a special intro. What'd you guys think about Tiger? Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah. It's hard. I think I kind of starting to feel like I wasn't covering a lot of tour events when he was like in his prime, but it's hard, man. Cause I mean, what else? He's good. He's good enough to win. He's going to win. He plays well. Like, what else is he going to write? You know, it's just, he's really good at golf and he's probably going to win. And unless his back explodes, he's going to be good for as long as he's healthy.
I mean, that's some expert analysis. He's good at golf. I like that, Sean. I thought it was kind of a captivating week. It's just so easy to like get worked up on Twitter and just add to the cacophony of just people screaming and tweeting GIFs and stuff like that. And like, we've done that. We did it in 2014 and 15 and, you know, all these other failed comebacks, but it's hard not to get captivated by it. He's hitting kind of all the shots and looks very different and is sticking to strategy, seems to be kind of have management back, course management principles back in play. And he really, this is so cliche, but you know, you heard Paul Azinger always talk about how like he went from the artist to the engineer. He just really kind of feels like he's playing golf again. Like he's working the ball different ways. He's decided, like with Joey, he decided how he wanted to play 18 and he stuck to it all 4 days. And it just seems like he's, and with flop shots or whatever it is around the green from with long irons, short irons, it just feels like he's more of a, like, and to listen to him talk after the rounds, it feels like he's more playing golf and not just, you know, trying to engineer some swing at all times.
That's a good take. I definitely agree with that. He was definitely controlling some flights. There's some trag. He's not trying to play just a fade or just that left to right shot. Like, he's working it. And so it's really cool to see.
It might be because he played that practice round at Riv with Bryson. He saw what he didn't want to be.
And at Torrey.
Saw what he did want to be. Come on. Bryson's a mix of artist and engineer. He's like Leonardo da Vinci.
Well, he is doing the, you know, he's his own swing coach now, which I think that's right. Going to lead to more creativity and more natural flow and natural feeling on his swing. I kind of had forgotten how much he means to like the sports world. I got a bunch of college buddies that aren't really golfers or golf fans at all. Like, they subscribe to the Fried Egg, but they don't read it ever. But those same friends were just like texting me all weekend asking me questions about Tiger, and I'm like, holy shit, like, you know, I forgot how big he is and how, you know, you see on ESPN, you know, updates all the time about Tiger. You know, he's like the big story, he's the main story on ESPN when March Madness is happening. That's crazy to me. Is like, you know, it's Selection Sunday and Tiger Woods is the biggest story in sports.
How big Tiger playing well is, because I think like the general sports fan got tired of the comeback and then it failed, and you know, the video of Tiger getting carted off the course again, and so they were like, I think the general sports fan kind of had this, hey, call me when he plays well kind of mentality, and now obviously he's playing well, and so I mean, he is the story.
Yeah, I mean, I think if
He's got to be the favorite going into this week, wouldn't you guys say?
That's crazy. Totally. I know. It's nuts. That's crazy. I totally agree.
I didn't realize he hadn't played Bay Hill since he won it in 2013. He's won four of his last five starts at Bay Hill.
Why hasn't he played since 20? I mean, I know.
Because it's too late in the season. I mean, 14, all the other seasons.
Yeah, 14, he went out after Doral. He bowed out.
He kept having back surgeries around March and April.
Right.
So he just never made it there.
It's, I mean, it's nuts. I didn't think he would come back this fast. I thought he would be good, like, after a couple, you know, when he was clearly healthy. But, like, I did not think four starts in we'd be talking about him being the favorite the next start out.
I feel like this week was big because, you know, he scrambled around and had obviously a good finish at Torrey for what he was doing. But then he played so bad at Riv, we thought, like, all right, maybe this is going to be a week-to-week thing. Like, he's going to have some good weeks, going to have some bad weeks. So I think coming into Valspar, because he hadn't played the course before, you're like, well, you know, is he only going to play well at Torrey because he plays well there no matter what? He can play well there one-handed. And then playing well at Valspar proved that, okay, Riv was more of an anomaly. It wasn't proof that this was going to be a week-to-week comeback. So the fact that he played so well on a course that he hasn't seen in two decades, I mean, it proves that he's back, and this is not like a, you know, some good weeks, some bad weeks. I mean, he's not going to win every week. He might miss some cuts. Everyone does, but I mean, he's back. I mean, so, we asked him, he's back.
So I think, like, we also need, like, I agree completely. I think we also need to add on, like, the disclaimer that he's back so long as he's healthy. Like, I'm not suggesting, like, he's on the verge of his spine disintegrating or anything like that. Like, it's just, like, I think we still need to be cautious to make sure it's sustainable. Like, as long as he's healthy, and I know that's, like, such a cop-out, yeah, he's back. But, like, I just feel like we still got to have the caveat. And maybe it's not his back. Maybe he's, like, whatever. He messes up his Achilles or his knee or, you know, something else goes. I just feel like got to be – you could say that about every player, but with Tiger, we just got kind of used to something going wrong every time it could in recent years. So, I don't know. What did you guys think what was the weak point of his game this week? I mean, it's hard to, like, really – drill down on it.
I thought his pace was bad today putting. I think that is just all part of the process of getting back. Is a lot of times when you're nervous or uncomfortable, your pace is the toughest thing to deal with on the greens. And he was leaving putts short, but then, you know, he gassed a couple where he hit him just a little too hard through the break, and it just didn't seem like the pace was really right all day. So I think that was the one spot he struggled, but I mean, the irons, the way he plays long par threes, like, I had forgotten until, like, Saturday he hit a few shots that, you know, like, that the sound on the club face when he hits a long iron is just, it's so unique and it's different than everybody else. Like, I mean, and the way the ball comes off the face, his long iron game is just so good.
And it's high again. I think in 2012, 2013, when he's working with Foley, it was getting a little bit low. He's in a lot of those low bullet fades, but he's just hitting them so high now.
Yeah.
The short game's tidy, too.
It's crazy how he turned that around from Riv, though, right? Because he said, like, I can't hit it. I'm not hitting it pin high right now. I can't find distance control with my irons. He's like, that's like, you guys are just talking about my driver, you know, getting stuck up in a tree and missing every fairway and all this other stuff. But, like, the real problem right now is like the hallmark of my career is what he said. I've always hit a pin high, and I'm not doing that right now. My wedges are, but my irons aren't. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he shows up at Honda, and it's all there. Or the next week, I guess. So
yeah, I don't know what Riv was. That was weird. But it seems like the exception. But I mean, Riv was really bad.
You know what it was? It was whip.
To his. I mean, he said, you know, when he chipped in on 9 yesterday, that he was he'd been burning edges all day and or all week and waiting for one to fall and finally did.
Andy, I want to hear your theory. What was wrong with the Riv?
I think everybody's heard it way more than they need to. Is that
what width?
Width. So it's wider corridor. So he drove it really bad at Torrey too. Torrey's like narrow fairways, but the corridors are really wide. So they don't give you like a defined aim point. But what happens is, say you have, like, there's a bunker, you know, on the left side that you don't want to go in at a place like Riv or Torrey. You can miss like 50 yards right. And you know that. It's in the back of your head, you know, as a player, like, hey, I can miss over here. You know, I'm it's like the same thing with a green, like an island green, like Sawgrass. You know you have to stand up and hit a good shot there. But if you leave a side of a green open, people are going to miss over there. Because, like, really good players are actually extremely conservative whenever they are the least bit uncomfortable. So if I don't have the right number, you're going to play left of a right flag. But so with wide corridors on a course like Riviera or Torrey, he knows he can miss, versus Honda and Valspar is really tight. And it tells you exactly where to hit it, and you, like, literally have to just hit the shot.
It's a really good point. He did talk this week too about how he was happy that when he did miss, he missed in the right spots. And, you know, you look at he's actually in the PGA Tour stats now, and his GIR percentage is horrible, but his strokes gained approach is really good. And part of that is because he's not hitting a ton of greens, but he's missing them by very little, and he is leaving easy chip shots. I don't know. I can't think of very many flop shots we've had to see this week. There were a lot of just easy, you know, easy short game shots.
So what do you guys think, speaking of, like, I don't know, the kind of your spots and strategy being defined for you and things like that on tighter golf courses. What do you guys think about his strategy on 18, needing a birdie? It seems to be takes are raging on Twitter this evening about, you know, he left himself 185, you know, and then tried to nuke a seven iron up the hill. It came, you know, he kind of stayed up on that ridge, but obviously it was well short of the cup.
It gets super narrow up there. And I think, you know, Joey said that, you know, 5 yards one way or the other would have been a good number to have, but they wanted to leave it below the hole. You don't want to go long. So if you try to feather cut a six in there, you risk going long and then being dead or having a really hard putt. Now, you don't want to be 40 feet short, but you also don't want to be long. And so it gets so narrow the farther up you go on that hole.
I think you pick a strategy to play the hole, and you play the hole the same way regardless of situation. Like, he picked that. So I think with Tiger, if he hits the fairway, he's got a good chance of making a birdie because he's such a great iron player. Like, the most important factor of him making birdie on the 18th hole was him hitting the fairway regardless. And, like, I really think that is, you know, if you're the best iron player ever in golf, like, you want to give yourself as many chances. And I like the 7-iron because you can't hit it long, you know. It's like a club that, you know, you can swing hard at and hit hard, and it's not going to go long, so you eliminate one of the issues. So
much front-to-back tilt in that green.
Yeah. I don't have any problem.
Or back-to-front, sorry.
Data guys might get on you, Andy, for saying hitting the fairway gave him the best chance at a birdie. I don't know. I mean, the people are just saying if you go just add another or whatever, kind of add a 3-wood, something that gets you another 50, 60 yards up the fairway, then your proximity to the hole is going to increase dramatically. I don't know. I don't have a strong take about it, but it just feels like, even though you need birdie, I don't know, try to put a wedge or something in your hands.
He hit 3-wood earlier in the week when the wind was different. But, I mean, like, those right bunkers, they're kind of church pew-esque. Those are dead. Those bunkers are pretty dead. You got to give yourself a chance.
I see it.
And if you get a wedge, we saw it with Reed, you can overspin it.
Right.
It's like that pin with a wedge isn't, like, the easiest pin to get to because of spin, you know?
So I shouldn't write that article that Tiger doesn't have the desire to win anymore. He likes playing for second.
Yeah,
look, the guy knows what he's doing. I'll second guess some guys. I have a hard time second guessing.
I think it's kind of like what happened with Poulter last year at 17 at Sawgrass. People are going to say that he was playing for the FedEx Cup points and not playing for the win.
That Brandel needs to get a Twitter tiff now. Tiger, he's locked horns too many times, I think.
How about Paul Casey having the best putting day of his career to win? You know,
like
21 putts
also, or just 21 putts?
He had 21 putts. Lowest number of putts he's ever had in his career.
How many greens did he hit?
I don't know.
I think I saw it was the lowest.
Not Justin Ray
or somebody said it was the lowest lowest amount of putts in a final round of PGA Tour since like the 1990s or something like that. But yeah, here it is.
Since Kenny Knox?
No, it's the fewest in the final round by a PGA Tour winner, so a winner, since Jim Carter at the 2000 Tucson Open. That's from Golf Channel's Justin Ray, the god. I mean, that's 18 years ago.
So it's pretty crazy, too, because so Casey, DJ Pihowski sent a text to like a group thread that Casey was at the number one in the Sagarin rankings heading into this week.
Yeah.
Like Paul Casey, I looked this up, since his last win has had 29 worldwide top tens since He's overrated.
Winning's overrated.
Way overrated.
Way overrated. Overrated, underrated, winning. Overrated.
Yeah. I'm so happy he finally won. You know, I would have loved Tiger to win, but like second guy I wanted to win was Paul Casey.
I didn't see that coming though at all. I mean, yesterday was kind of a mess for him, and he's never, like we said, he's kind of always lurking and never really has closed well since 2009 from that, you know, kind of contending Sunday spot. Maybe just being, you know, an hour and a half ahead of the leaders is the way to do it.
It's just one of those, the more chances you give, I mean, the more eventually one time you're going to shoot that 65 and get that victory. He just has so many chances, one of them has to go his way.
It kind of feels like Sergio last year in the Masters, and we're talking about this as the Valspar.
It's ironic he was playing with Scott Stallings, because Scott Stallings is like the guy who has like 5 to 7 career top tens and 3 of them are wins. Paul Casey has 8 billion top tens and now 2 of them are wins.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't see that being the guy that edged Tiger. Like, I really thought, you know, as crazy as it sounds, like Tiger was the favorite. I mean, legitimately, not just the betting favorite, because that's, you know, protecting liability against all the money coming in on him. But, you know, Rose was in the last group. Snedeker was playing with him. I wasn't putting a lot of.
I thought Reed was going to pull it out.
Really?
I had a great tweet ready too, man. I was excited. I was going to tweet that Casey might be rethinking his Ryder Cup decision after he gets a first-hand look at Patrick Reed and his element. But then, of course, that putt routine happened, and I had to hit delete real quick.
How about that?
That was amazing. I compared it to 98 Olympic U.S. Open when Payne Stewart's in there watching that ball roll back to his feet.
I didn't even see it. I had to watch it afterwards because I was too busy. I had my computer typing up takes on Tiger's, you know, 17 and 18.
What was it, 40, probably 40 feet? And it creeps out. I mean, it probably only rolled 25 feet and then just rolled right back to his feet.
I mean,
he's played well there, obviously, historically, but I don't know. He's not done much, I feel like, outside of the Ryder Cup.
Since, no, I mean, he was not going to make the Presidents Cup team until the PGA.
Right.
I mean,
first top 10 in a major.
I feel like him and Phil are the two guys that like would never get left off a Ryder Cup or Presidents Cup team now. Like, I don't think Patrick Reed could be left off the Ryder Cup team.
I would concur with that. I would agree with that. I mean, as much, I can't say I'm the biggest Reed fan, but it just seems like he has kind of an automatic auto bid from here on out, unless he's injured.
For the next 20 years, no matter what happens?
I don't know about 20, but a while.
American Poulter.
So how about this start of the season? We've had we had all the young winners, and now we've had a bunch of old guys. We had Bubba, we've got Phil, we've got Casey winning, and obviously you got sprinkled in there, you got JT, but like it's interesting that we're actually getting that old guard back in golf that was gone for like 2 years.
I mean, last year was a record-setting year for wins by guys 25 and under.
Right.
They were filling the vacuum that Phil and Tiger had left behind. And then, you know, but then Phil and Tiger came back. And I love Shackelford has a great take about how, like, the great duels in golf history have all been generational battles. And kind of the stage is set for that now.
Well, we need the young guys, Rory and Jordan, to pick it up a little bit, you know? I don't know if they'll be the ones, but Thomas and DJ.
I'm less worried about Jordan than Rory.
Rory's ranked 13th, which is his lowest world ranking since 2009.
That was Fat Rory.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
I would be down with Fat Rory coming back, to be honest with you.
Too yoked
just for
you?
Just kind of like...
See, yeah. not,
with his hair, with his bushy hair.
I'd be way into
athlete,
that.
He's good fit.
Just kind of like walking around with like a Bud Light after the round immediately over. Like I'd be way in with, you know, it might loosen things up. You know, I think like too much of his persona has been, you know, put into this like weightlifter guy and Mr. Nike athlete. Like, why don't you just go against the grain? Be the Nike athlete that's a little overweight. I would welcome it. It'd be more of an icon for me.
It's, you know, it's kind of like Tiger's Monster sponsorship. It just shows that he's you know, a little bit more laid back than he's ever been before. Traded in AT&T for Monster.
What tweets do you have ready for a Tiger win that involve Monster?
I swear to God, I just pull those together on the fly. I'm serious. Nothing is loaded in. Nothing's loaded in for the win. It's probably be disappointing. I didn't have anything ready tonight if he won. It's just kind of, you know, think about something and let it rip.
I have to say,
guess I should probably put some drafts together.
The daylight savings time one got me good.
I mean, I could have used it. I like peaked this week, man, with Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like, just... ran out of Monster, you know, but Sunday night I lost an hour of sleep. I'm out of Monster, trying to come down from the whole freaking Tiger, you know, making a bunch of pars all day. It's like I am low energy right now. I peaked and kind of rifled through my Monster supply after those first couple days.
So looking forward to the Masters. A, do you think they are going to stock Tiger's cabin with Monster? And B,
what's the over under on how many Monsters Tiger's drank in his life?
Five.
One. Yeah, I got some good on the ground reporting on this matter at Riviera.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A friend of mine there said he saw Joey filling it with water. I was wondering if water, but I questioned the, you know, thinking maybe water was to dilute it, like the unleaded kind of nature of whatever was in there already, just trying to dilute it and bring it down a little bit. But you know, I think the over under on how many he's actually drank in his life is one. So
I could see him drinking it a lot when he's up late playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's definitely
he calls
for the
it
game.
COD, that's his shorthand. I mean, maybe that's everybody's shorthand. I'm not familiar with that kind of world, the video game world, but yeah. He refers to it as COD. But I have allowed myself to think about, you know, there are no brands at Augusta National. No brands. You know, Coke is, or whatever it is just soda, Diet Cola, things like that. I think he's going to, you know, shoehorn or crowbar some brands on the 2019 Champions Dinner menu. He's just going to say, you're going to serve Monster Energy.
Get your pimento cheese and energy drink.
You get, yeah, the Champions Dinner. You get three different flavors to choose from. 2019.
One problem. It's not the champion.
You're gonna. Oh, as it said, 2019.
Oh, 19. Okay, yeah.
You're gonna have Ian Woosnam in there trying to figure out which kind of flavor to pick. Yeah, you know?
we're getting off the rails. The fried egg is very high end listenership, and they're probably disgusted with this conversation.
It's okay. Sean. Hey, Sean, I was surprised that you were telling us that you were going to have to write a Tiger story and you weren't like following around Sam Burns.
I talked to Sam on Tuesday. I'm big on Sam Burns. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you look at what Peterson did. You know, Peterson gets left off the Walker Cup and then almost wins the U.S. Open the next year. Burns gets left off the Walker Cup and is probably going to earn his tour card via tour starts this year. Pretty nuts.
It's crazy when you consider the other players that have earned that special temporary membership, and it's like, you know, Rahm, Spieth, Mickelson, Woods, Justin Leonard. Like, there aren't many bad names on that list of nine
guys.
Yeah,
he is running out of starts. That's the problem. He did take a fair amount of starts in the fall and got off to a little bit of a slow start.
He's got this one though next week.
Yeah, he needs 88 points, so a solo seventh at Bay Hill would take care of it for him. He's got to start in Memorial, which would not count against his sponsor exemptions because he's the Nicklaus Award winner. He said he's trying to get into Zurich with William McGirt. I think he'd have two more after that, maybe just one more.
Man, how did...
I mean, he kind of shot himself in the foot with his 12th place finish in that triple bogey because he didn't top 10, so he doesn't get that top 10 into the Dominican with Romo.
I wonder, is what group is Romo going to get put in? Do you think they'll put him in like the last or, you know, the very last tee time like they would with like alternates, or are they going to put him in like a featured group too?
Romo, Burns, Woods, first two rounds?
I think they'll probably have him in the TV window. I think like the reason, right? Yeah. I mean, the reason you give him an exemption is, and granted, you can still be in the TV window if you're last or, you know, last tee time of the day. But I don't know. I don't know that you put him in like that. I guess there's a formula for it, technically, like if you're a winner. But I think they're kind of, they really kind of fiddle around with those. There may be some kind of, I don't know, fake news going on behind how they put those groups together.
I don't know that there's ever been a sponsor exemption in a feature group. That would be, I think that would be unprecedented. It could be wrong.
I don't think it'll be a feature group. I think it will be kind of in the middle of the tee sheet, though, right? I don't think they'll put them out like at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's gotta.
Just so they can show him on TV a little bit. I mean, he's got one purpose there, and whether it's while he shoots 96 or shoots 84, it's so people can watch him and tune into the Dominican event.
On the first tee, are they going to announce him as the 2009 Will County Am Champ?
Wow. I don't even know where Will County is. I'm guessing
it's in Chicago. Yeah.
Okay. So,
it's but
were you in the field?
I wasn't in the field that year. I'm always questioning.
So how he won?
No, like he beat
Tiger away.
I think he beat Todd Mitchell that year.
Really?
Romo used to be better because the back surgeries have really kind of screwed him up. Like, I mean, he can't. That's the one thing people don't get. Like, Romo's actually pretty good. He just he can't finish 18 holes a lot of days. Like, his back gives out.
Really? I think he shot 67 in the Azalea Am 1 year at a Rainer, Country Club of Charleston.
Yeah, he can play. I think, if I was going to take out of 10, I think he'd beat Steph Curry more times out of 10 for sure.
Wow.
Really? Right now?
Yeah.
Present? Really?
Yeah.
So apparently he's grinding hard with Chris O'Connell, who's the guy who rebuilt Kuchar's swing. He's working Mahan now. And I talked to Paul Stankowski, who played in that mini tour event where he shot 81. And Paul's a pretty upbeat, positive guy. Doesn't want to talk bad about anyone. But he said he thinks he has an outside shot at making that cut.
Can I just bring something up for a second?
Sure.
You know, it's been 5 years since Tiger Woods won a damn PGA Tour event. He just came in second, missed a playoff by one shot.
About Tony Romo?
You're talking about the Azalea Am and Chris O'Connell working, talking, interviewing Paul Stankowski? What the hell are we talking about?
And, you
want
to get back to
Tiger?
We got off the rails.
Talking about some county in Illinois. Like, what? Paul Stankowski? What the hell?
Look,
I mean, wasn't he second in the 97 Masters or something?
When
the golf media goes left, the Friday goes right. Yeah. We can talk. I've walked 144 holes with Tiger in the last 3 weeks. I can talk Tiger.
Talk Tiger. Tell me about the crowds. I want to hear more about these guys. You know, remember he stopped at the apex of his bunker shot on Thursday. Like, how many yahoos were out there?
That was actually a four call from another hole.
Oh, this is the on the ground reporting we did not get on TV.
There was an Elvis today. People enjoyed my photo of a guy in a Tiger onesie, which probably we'll see every week now. Nothing too crazy. Really, just. Honestly, the thing, it's so funny now, I'm going to sound like a curmudgeon here, but, you know, with the new phone policy, you kind of just realize that everyone's just following Tiger to create content. That's all they're, I mean, everyone, like, they're just trying to get, they're taking snaps when he walks by, they're yelling, they're doing selfie mode, yelling stuff when he walks by, like, it's just, everyone's about creating content when they watch him now.
I mean, this is another way to go off the rails.
Social media and the way it's ruining
society. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of articles out there on whether you're actually experiencing life as, you know, or you're just trying to experience something for an Instagram post. But yeah,
you should pull a Radiohead and then be like, hey, I'm not hitting this shot until you guys all put your phones down.
I mean, it's bizarre. It's kind of startling to see those pictures of him, whatever, hitting out, trying to punch back in the fairway. And there's, you know, 600 people all looking like robots with their phones up. I don't know.
There were a couple times this week where he was off in the gallery and, like, you know, he hits his shot. He's trying to walk to the rope line and everyone's swarming around him. And, like, Snedeker's trying to hit, but he's waiting and he's just watching. And even, like, Snedeker, who's been around Tiger for years, is, like, kind of taken aback and kind of jarred by just, like, the scene, like, just the madness.
On 18, right? it was like a music festival when Snedeker was hitting.
Yeah.
He was, like, hitting it. It was just, like, it was so loud. It was crazy.
You know? This week I got an appreciation for the pro move of just taking extra practice swings and lining it up from different angles for the whole purpose of just letting the crowd settle. Like, you can tell guys were just taking extra swings, like, not even trying to accomplish anything, like, but just having a kill time for the crowd to kind of settle down.
You know, the thing with Tiger, too, is he'll, if you notice it, when he hits it up to, like, a foot, he'll mark so that the crowd doesn't start moving. Because he knows when he puts out, the crowd will just go. And I noticed that a lot this week.
Yeah, Sam Burns texted David Toms, who's, like, mentored him since he was a kid, because Sam's son's, or friends with David's son. And, like, one of the things David said is, like, hey, if you can help it without breaking routine, like, putt everything out. Like, just continue putting out until you hole it, because otherwise people are just going to go nuts.
Well, he did today. He was, I forget if it was an approach shot or a par three tee shot. He waited for kind of like some player on an adjacent hole to play. Like, Tiger's cognizant of it more than maybe even like his playing partners are. Like, he's been doing it for so long. Yeah. There's somebody on an adjacent hole going to play. And obviously Tiger hits into a green, there's a good chance there's a roar, you know, some sort. So he kind of, he waited an extra beat, waited for the guy to play and then hit into the green.
All right, I'm taking back control of this pod.
Too much Tiger for Andy.
Yeah, no, we're getting to some of these questions we got.
Okay.
All right, Will Knight's, you know, fried egg contributor here, wants to know, for the next three seasons, would you rather have Tiger or Rory?
As what?
You're going to respond the same way you responded to the tweet? As a golfer.
For the next three seasons.
I'm going to go Rory only because of the uncertainty of, like, I read a really good thing in Golf Digest once about fusion and that it puts more pressure on the discs around the fused discs because now that's not moving the way it should. So, I mean, the guy's had a lot of surgeries. He's 42 years old. I'm going to go Rory. I think Rory's a little safer bet.
Ooh. That's a good question. Will's doing good work for you, by the way. And I like his stuff.
He's a little plug. Better writer than I am.
I can't believe this is even like a question that I have to like think about, but I do. I don't know. I mean, it's very, there's a lot of recency bias coming out of what we just watched, particularly with Rory, in my opinion. Like,
Tiger's beaten Rory by 18 shots in their last six rounds. Three a round.
I mean, I sometimes wonder if Rory's just cool being a, you know, I don't know. He doesn't feel like he needs to do a whole lot more. If it happens, it happens, but he's not gonna like kill himself to do it, you know. Whereas Tiger, I think, already has basically, you know, given his body up to try and do everything he can in the game. So I don't know. I mean, after this week,
wow, ultimate fence sitter. Pick one.
I like Tiger.
All right.
Tiger. For 3 years, shit. Yeah, sure, Tiger.
Does it change if it's majors only?
No.
I feel like Tiger can win six times next year. I'm going Tiger. Times.
I'm not sure. Is Rory's an only an Emirati player now. He can only play in the Emirates and PGA, you know? So
Rory really disappointed me with his ball stance.
What did he say? He said, you know, it's just people, guys are better athletes, right? Equipment.
The problem is like what a lot of guys like what Rory doesn't understand is if you rolled back stuff, he would be even better, and that equipment keeps a lot of guys close to him that shouldn't be close to him.
Who are you taking, Andy? It's your podcast.
I'm the host. I don't have to answer. I'll take Tiger. I you know, Rory's inability to get it done inside 125 yards. Being really bad inside 125 yards is not good. That's yep. like you're not going to be a good. And it's almost like his 2014 season is now the outlier.
Yep.
Like he's
yeah. had, which is wouldn't this be even more reason why he should want to roll back so he can get even more. Because, like, too many guys are too close to him with that, like, advantage, distance yeah. advantage. Like, we'll roll it back so you can accentuate that advantage.
It fits him because the equipment gives an exponential advantage to people with higher swing speed. So it makes, like, their advantage even bigger.
Yeah, but the miss, it's like nobody misses anymore.
Right.
It's like it's impossible to miss with clubs. Like it's
what kind of rollback are we talking, like persimmon?
I don't know. I'm just pointing out, like, Rory's a guy that of all the people, he should be like banging the rollback drum. But he gets paid to not, you know, bang a rollback drum. So we're done talking about this. This is not what we're going to talk about. If the two were four clear of the field with three to play, who would Sean pull for in 4 weeks? Hideki or Tiger? And this is from the Ed Lore Tracker.
Tiger's good for business, man. I think next week, Tiger. But then after Tiger gets his win, Hideki. But we got to get that Tiger win. Come on, we're hungry for it.
He's saying 4 weeks at Augusta.
Oh, at Augusta. Gosh.
He's making Hideki, you choose, man. Between money or loyalty.
Hideki, game changer right there.
Talking about Augusta, it's kind of, I mean, we haven't even had like Hideki in the mix really this season.
He's been out since Phoenix. He'll be back next week. Tiger Hideki duel is on tap.
I mean, the Augusta, like the favorites are stacked. You go down the list of guys. You got JT and DJ, obviously. Spieth. Justin Rose is playing well. You got Tiger. You got Hideki. He always plays well. And then Casey's finished in the top six the last 3 years there.
I was curious about Casey's odds. He went from 40-1 to 25-1, you know, between Thursday and Sunday. It's hard to see him not being in the top 20 somewhere, you know.
He's always good for a first round 68. Him and Justin Rose will shoot 68 in the first round every year.
Right.
It depends what happens from there on out.
If you guys were going to take somebody from outside the main group of you know, favorites, who would it be?
Ugh. I need to look.
Maybe break out the Google machine. So outside, like...
Yeah, just outside. We'll say just outside, like, the 10 favorite. Lots of typing.
This is Kuchar excellent preparation.
Yeah. Bubba? Kuchar?
Bubba's got to be among the 10 favorites. Come on.
It's funny, though, because besides the 2 years he won, his record there is not good. I think, like, 37th is, like, his second best, or his best finish besides the win. He's feast or famine.
What about Tony Finau?
I like Finau.
That's an experience course. I mean, he's going to be making his debut.
Right, it's his first one.
Never mind. So. King Louie, the mattress king.
I mean, it's hard. Yeah.
Oh, can't wait. Definitely can't wait.
It's not his first one either. It's his second.
Low amateur after Hideki shot a final round 80.
It's pretty impressive that Cantlay is like one of the top 10 driving distance guys, and he swing speed is like in the middle of the pack. He just hits it so good. It's crazy.
Why didn't he play this week? He contended here last year. He just doesn't need to deal with the whole Florida stuff that much.
I don't think he plays.
He still has to pick his spot because of the back. The back was really bad. I wonder if that's part of it.
I think that is a big part of it. And it's like he's in the WGCs now, so...
Yeah,
he'll play those WGCs and you know, playing. He would have to play. He's not going to play 3 out of 4 weeks. He's not.
I think he just likes to chill too, man. He just likes to go home in SoCal and just chill out.
What do you expect from Bay Hill, Andy? Like, what do you really think Tiger's? Well, how does that set up for Tiger? It's good. Similar to
every
Honda. Just tell you where to hit.
Just think about all the golf courses that Tiger has won at. And they all are demanding from tee to green.
Tiger has wide, or Bay Hill has wide corridors.
Not really. There's water all over the place.
There is, yeah. But there's a lot of holes that got some width.
There's some width, but they're demanding tee to green. And, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, because it goes back to this whole iron thing. Like, he can lay back. He can play more conservative than a lot of guys because he's the best iron player ever.
And it has Andy's favorite tee, the 15th, which was moved across the street. So they have to stop traffic when guys are teeing off.
I'm
waiting for the day when a guy tops one into the street. I want that day to happen so bad.
You hit over these hedges, and then like Rich Harvest Farms, and there's traffic going back and forth. There's like cops ducking below the hedges to stop the cars. It's madness.
You know, I had to take a chill pill this week, and because I realized, like, as much as the Copperhead course kind of offends a lot of the things, an offender of golf course architecture in so many ways, but it's like one of the better courses that the PGA Tour plays, which made me sad.
Here's the thing that we need to talk about too, is that the way the Copperhead is, Tiger was hitting irons like 5 or 6 times off tees, if not more. I think it was 6. 3 wood, another 3 times. I mean, the only hole that he would hit driver on besides the par 5s was 9. So that is one thing. And we talked to Noda this morning in preparation for the victory, which didn't happen. And that was one thing Noda said, even, is like, he knows that, you know, you can get it done at Innisbrook with irons off the tee, but eventually you got to get the driver sorted out a little. It's better. It's definitely better. The misses aren't quite as bad, but you still got to sort it out.
Yeah. And sure enough, it was his first time he was actually like good with strokes gained off the tee. He was 14th in the field strokes gained off the tee this week. Usually he's in the hundreds.
Well, yeah, was he plus 4.7 or something? 0.47, I think. Mm-hmm. Strokes gained in the positive off the tee. So
might have been his first tournament in the positive. But, he didn't have to hit driver a lot. That's probably still the big question. But Augusta, as Phil has shown, you don't really need to hit it that straight.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is set up perfectly for him getting this rep, then Bay Hill, and then getting 2 weeks off, right? I mean, like, match play is just, I don't know, I'm over it. I love Austin, love the city, love the course. Sounds fun for match play. It's just, I don't know. As an event, has no juice with me right now. So I think, you know, I think this could work out perfectly. I don't know if he'd qualify with a win at Bay Hill, but even if he did.
I saw he cracked top 50 with a win at Bay Hill.
Yeah, so even if he did, I don't know that he'd play it, right? 3 weeks
in a row. Yeah, 3 in a row. Yeah. And then I wonder, did he take 2 weeks off and go to Augusta? I guess that's what he used to do.
He needs to get in the weight room.
But then Bay Hill used to be, I think, didn't it used to go Bay Hill, Houston, and then the Masters?
I think so.
Yeah. There's that extra week. Do you go to Augusta with 2 weeks off? I don't know what else you do. You either play Houston or go to Dominican.
Yeah.
But he's not going to play the week before.
Just take a couple extra weeks off, go up there, you know, check out the vibe, play some practice rounds in Augusta, you know.
Get in the weight room.
One shot I did not see from the
rental house stocked up with Monster. You're good. Just make sure all the preparations are made. Use that extra week.
One shot that I did not see this week either was like the low nipping spinner. He hit chip shots off tight lies fine. You know, I'm not going to go with like the chipping yips. His chipping is obviously good, but I don't know if it's the shot he doesn't feel comfortable with yet or he just didn't need it yet, but we didn't see like the, you know, like the shot you saw at 16 at Augusta when he beat DeMarco. Like, you didn't see the low spinner.
You know why?
No.
Because it's just a sea of rough at the Copperhead court. There's only just some thick shots off grass everywhere.
Yeah. But even the shots he had off short grass. Now, granted, he didn't really need it, I don't think. But I haven't seen that shot yet anywhere.
So, now that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Andy, what would you like to see his schedule be? Now that we kind of see, or Sean, obviously, too. Well, now that we've seen he's kind of he's a real competitive golfer. We think he could win this week at Bay Hill. We thought he could have won this, you know, past week. Like, what is his schedule? It used to be, you know, just try and stay healthy and keep it light. What kind of events do you want to see him play after the Masters? I think we know where we're going before the Masters.
Harbortown win by six or hit two iron all day?
I think he'll go to Wells Fargo.
Yeah, I think it'll be the old, we'll see, it's pretty predictable, I think.
Wells Fargo, Players, and then I bet he takes a week off. He doesn't play the Nelson. I bet he takes 2 weeks off, then he plays Muirfield. Then he plays
the
US.
What if he did play the Nelson?
He's not going to.
Anti-wit.
The realization. Like, there's no way he's going to play in the Nelson if he plays.
That would be three in a row, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he plays at Harbortown, personally. Just because he puts a lot of time into his prep for Masters, you know? So then he plays US Open.
The National.
Yeah, he's got to play that.
up in my neck of the woods.
I'm going to go to that, I think.
Oh, good.
Then he'll play the Open Championship. Then the Firestone and...
No, it's not in. I mean, he might be top... let's say he's top 50 by then. He probably will be, but...
And then he'll play PGA.
What's the one you'd want to see him play most that you don't think would be on his schedule? Trinity?
Nelson, but yeah, 3 weeks in a row is not going to happen. Andy's right.
Trinity... he might play that Zurich, too.
Who's his partner?
Noda. I don't know. Noda, like... Like we did with Chase Koepka, get Noda a little spot in that field.
I could see him being with Jason Day.
What about Pete Reed?
Twist facing to and fro, what? Jason Day. And
how have they not gotten rid of the FedEx Cup points for that team event?
You got to. If it didn't have FedEx Cup points, what are you playing? I mean, you got to have that FedEx Cup
points. It's a scam. You can just cheat the system.
You got what? No, it's. I mean, come on.
I'm gonna go find some bubble guy that admits.
Sam Snead's got like four ball victories in his 82.
What if there was one different style event format? What would you like to see?
Oh,
I'd like to see some like some sort of synergy with the LPGA type thing. I think it'd be cool to see different styles on the same course. A male and female partner event. I don't know.
See that?
Long drive contest. Just everybody hits Volvix.
Bubba would WD.
I do wish we had like the All-Star game weekend with like all the just skills contests.
That could be kind of cool. What about you, Sean? You got any alternate format ideas?
I do like the Hickory Open.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
Where would they play that?
Myopia Hunt Club?
Yeah.
Anywhere?
It was funny because I was thinking the same thing for that. National Golf Links.
Yeah, it'd be super woke.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool, but... I actually really like that Golf Sixes event they have in Australia.
Why?
Six is too short.
Hater. Sean Martin doesn't want to grow the game.
Give me
it's
golf
gonna be
nine.
A headline tomorrow.
I'll do nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
Golf nines. All right.
Let's just do golf threes.
All right. Overrated, underrated.
Yeah, here we go.
Bay Hill.
Oh,
I've been the last 2 years.
It's definitely not underrated. I think no one really.
Come on.
Rory likes it.
Mr. PGA Tour.
Can't it's take a stand.
There. Yeah, it's walk more... on eggshells.
Squirming in his seat.
Well, it's more than. I mean, it's Mr. Palmer's place. I mean, the guy is. Course or tournament?
Tournament.
So here's my take. I think the tournament is underrated because it falls in a tough spot in the schedule for, you know, I think the tournament's underrated. I'm not a huge fan of the course.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say it's underrated. It gets certainly a lot of publicity for where it is. I mean, I think I really like where it is on the schedule, what it presents, its history, what it's all about. So I'm not going to say it's overrated. I can't say it's overrated.
It's overrated. They shouldn't get the 3-year exemption.
That is bullshit. Mean,
Riviera doesn't have a 3-year exemption, and it's the best tour event every year.
Yeah. That's the PGA Tour trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Just like, you know, we're going to make the Memorial and Bay Hill like have to be this thing where the purse now is, we don't care. The purse is going to be $8.5 million, even though it was like 6 before. And you're going to get a 3-year exemption. Like, it's a slippery slope. What are we going to do next? Like, the Nelson should get that. He's a legend. What about, you know, Hogan at Colonial?
You know what,
like,
it kind of
can't even get a title sponsor. But, you know, I just think that was not, I'm not a fan of that move. That, nothing against Bay Hill or Palmer. That's just PGA Tour.
You know what?
I don't
know. It kind of reminds me of a ceremonial tree planting program that a club would put in place. It's just setting you up for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Everybody wants a tree. Everybody wants a tree.
With Zurich too. I gotta imagine there's, you know, 35 other tournament directors that lost their minds when Zurich got to do, you know, the 2-man game and have a little fun with things. You know, like, everybody wants to kind of switch it up and stand out from the crowd. So, but yeah, the Bay Hill, the 3-year exemption, Andy, is ridiculous.
What's the one tournament that you would want to see like propped up and become, you know, kind of like how Valspar and Travelers have become big time events over the years? What's the one that you think should become the next big one?
I'd go with Colonial for me. I think it's just like, it's got a crap spot on the schedule. It's like a week before Memorial and US Open, so a lot of people aren't gonna play it. It's usually opposite the BMW PGA at Wentworth, so they're not getting like many of the Euro guys. I think, you know, it's a fun track. It's a fun setting. You know, it's cool kind of crowd, and you know, there's a lot of history there. I've been there a couple times and just never been a bad time. And you're watching, you know, no offense, you're watching like Ken Duke and whatever, John, you know, Merrick play, you know, for the lead.
Merrick.
What a ball. It's always kind of like a
The last two winners were Spieth and Kisner.
It's gotten better since when I was there. But it's always like a great experience, even though the field's not too deep. So I think that should be elevated.
I like the idea of Colonial. I really want Colonial to elevate, but it's hard because that course, you know, technology has had its way with that course, and it feels like it becomes an iron fest off the tee.
What's wrong with that? Make it the Hickory Open.
I want guys to hit drivers. I gotta see drivers. I think I would go Nelson for the fact of, like you said, it's got Mr. Nelson's name attached to it. Trinity, I think, will be fun to watch. Do something different. Obviously, get some width and some angles. Be cool to elevate, I think.
Is that at Trinity now for the foreseeable future, or is that going to start bouncing around?
It's at Trinity for, I think they have, what, 3-year deal?
I don't know the details, actually.
So that'll be there. It'll be interesting. People are going to, I mean, there's going to be, if it's firm and fast, some pros are going to get really mad about some stuff, but
he's gonna get them mad. Who's your pick to get, you know, the most upset first that place?
I could see Billy Horschel losing his mind just because he's like, he's prone to losing his mind on Twitter, you know.
Yeah, so defending, like, champ.
Yeah, but I you know what event I want to see return to glory? The Canadian Open.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm so sick of Glen Abbey. Like, I'm going to personally go up there and try and shut that place down, maybe.
Well, it ended, but there was worries that it was going to. They're going to make it into an office park or something.
I know. I feel like it's still alive.
Do you remember that place that they played it when Cantlay was an amateur and he finished ninth? Shaughnessy?
Up in Vancouver.
Yeah, that place looks sick.
Yeah, that's like one
not
of the
not
best.
Not a lot of width, but looked pretty cool.
You can't go from the British Open to Vancouver.
Yeah, but that's part of all revitalizing the Canadian Open, which was
having a Cabot Cliffs.
It's the only. It's like the only big national open that Jack Nicklaus never won.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the Canadian Open used to be a huge deal.
How? Someone's in with Big Syrup.
I'm trying to get in with Canadians, you know, these days.
Are you on Team RBC now?
No, no.
Dude, they should have it at Banff. I was so jealous that DJ got to go up there. I've wanted to go there since that video game, Lynx 93 or whatever it was. That place with the elk and the huge rock face you hit into. And, like, I'm looking forward to Golfers Journal number 3, Shadow of Golfers Journal.
I haven't gotten mine yet.
Yeah, mine always comes a couple weeks later. Not shout out Golfers Journal delivery system.
What I mean is the Canadian Open. I mean, is it more prestigious now or less prestigious than the Indian Open this week? Hero Indian Open, less prestigious.
It's probably definitely less prestigious.
That course looks like a video game. I want to play it just for the novelty of it.
That's what I mean. You know what? It's so bad, it's good. You know, I like Andy's talking about Copperhead, like offends his sensibilities. Like those are all the subtlety, you know, subtle ways. Like it, we get that kind of monotonous badness. We don't get the grandiose badness, you know, Andy, the grandiose hideousness of this Indian Open with the rock formations and these bunkers,
the
that are
foam bunkers, you
know, 40 feet high.
Andy likes seven golfers you ever heard of.
Overgrowth on top of these like 15 foot 20 foot deep bunkers. I mean, that's why it's distinct. It sticks out. If you're gonna be really bad, just go. If you're gonna have a bad course, just go really bad like that.
I will agree. You know what it is, it's very bold in what it does, because it very takes bold. Like the manufactured look to the whole new level,
right?
So it's unique.
That's what I'm saying.
The best golf course of its kind, I think, is what Gary Player used to say.
All right. Overrated, underrated, Francesco Molinari. He's ranked underrated. 24th in the world.
Guy knows how to get his rankings points.
He hits it so straight. Good sleep for Bay Hill if he's playing.
He's optimized for everything. Guy's, like, deep into stats, deep into, like, just knows where to get his world ranking points. I mean, he's a good player.
You're thinking of Eduardo. You're getting your Molinari's mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
Eduardo's deep with Brody.
I am thinking of Dodo.
I miss Dodo. Man, Dodo, actually, former runner-up at Bay Hill. I miss Dodo.
Hey, what about Bryson having back problems? I was watching when he, you know, WD'd, and I was thinking, he's got to talk to Louie.
Mattress
back game. Back problems are no joke, and the problem is once you get them, they don't go away. You can maintain them, but
I thought you know, he said he got a bad night's sleep, and that's what caused it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
it is one plane swing. You know, he's got to find a new plane to operate on. You know,
Francesco's only played 4 times this year. Also, he's on like a Tiger schedule.
He's probably played the match play, right?
Oh yeah,
I would think so.
I mean, that guy just knows how to always be inside the top, you know, 30 to 50 in the world.
King of the 18th place finish.
Who would you guys take in the Ryder Cup if it started this week?
Oh, which side?
Yeah.
In France? I was pretty proud of my tweet that there were as many U.S. captains in the top 20 as there were Europeans. But
proud of your tweet. That's always a good way to start a sentence.
Well, it was a bad day on Twitter, so I had to redeem myself.
We need to talk about Shirtgate in a minute. I would take the Europeans. I think they're still just as deep and playing on home soil, and I don't know. I think they're in perfectly fine shape. We saw today Rose, Sergio, Casey. Rory may not be what they want, but I think they're perfectly deep enough.
I think Le Golf National in fall is going to be lush and thick rough, and they're going to slow greens. I got to take Europe. If it was in the U.S., I would take the U.S., but it's in Europe, so I'm going Europe.
Yeah, I'd take Europe too. I always take Europe, though. when's the cutoff for the top 50 for the Masters?
After match play.
Monday after match play.
Yuta Ikeda is sitting in 49th right now.
Yeah, Satoshi Kodaira up there as well. A couple of Japanese players.
I think Ikeda's already qualified, actually.
Really?
You're in top 50?
I think Satoshi is not.
The big one is Dylan Fratelli.
Yeah.
He's not in
yet. Cam Smith, too.
Fratelli's up to 50th or 45th, and Smith's up to 50th. So I bet both those guys get in.
Shout out World Rankings. It's currently 2:46 a.m. in England, and they updated them. Tiger's at 149 in the World Ranking.
Yeah, that's. Lee Westwood's not going to be in the Masters this year.
Patton Kizzire, 51st. I don't think he is yet. Oh, no, he won twice. Never mind.
He won. Yeah.
That's. I'm sad. It's the end of the West era. By the way,
some of the big news out of Valspar, Adam Scott working with George Genkis, the Instagram sensation.
I saw that at Riv.
Yeah.
I like almost threw up.
Also, Adam Scott, 56 right now, still trying to get that Shinnecock, getting into Shinny.
Scott is not exempt right now for Shinny?
Not to Shinny. I'm just waiting to see how many times I can say Shinny before Andy loses it.
Shinny?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Are you against that shorthand?
No.
Shinnecock?
That's
you're not? Oh. No. Purists hated it. I hate it. Peter Uihlein, 62. Not in the Masters.
Not enough time. I don't know.
All
not enough events, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's in match play. He'll probably play Bay Hill in match play. There's some, you need some points there.
All right, I'm going to call this a call this thing right now.
Escaped without going into Shirtgate. That's good.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Shirtgate.
What do you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
No, you can talk.
Sean, you know, many of people are saying you're the foremost propagator of fake news these days.
It was unfortunate that went as viral as it did.
So what happened? I'm now looking at it right now. There's 1,300 retweets. What happened? Sean tweeted, you know, with great vim and vigor about Tiger wearing a solid blood red shirt. And then moments later, he's on TV and there's stripes everywhere, all sorts of stripes. And
so what I was going for, I don't know if you remember, it was like 2009. He used to do these like black shirts with like hinted like red stripes. He would do, even when he beat Ernie at Kapalua, he had one of those shirts. And I was more referring to those. But we saw him in the parking lot, and, you know, it was bright red. You could see it from 50 yards away. And then he zips by in the car, and there's no stripes on the back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it looks, I mean, it just looks like red and black, 1997, just. And even in my head, I'm like, well, what if there was some pattern I didn't see on the front, and then I still went with it? I should have just said we're going blood red today. But yeah, because like there was a period there where, I mean, he would go almost like black shirts with just hints of red. And this one was, I mean, this was red. This was bold. He was making a statement today.
Well, did anyone correct you on Twitter that you were wrong? Did anyone respond?
Yeah, a lot of people did. There were some good ones. Some people, you know, were lighthearted about it. Some people just, you know, fake news, biased media. I appreciate, though, that the people that after the telecast was on and there were very obviously stripes, people still went with it. I mean, the fact of the matter was there was those black stripes. They're hard to see in the bright sunlight. It's easier to see when the cameras because they make it look much lighter than it appears. But it was a strong red shirt. He was making a statement.
You know, the Valspar trophy is underrated.
It's like a paint stroke, right?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a Euro Tour. It kind of reminds me of the Qatar Masters trophy. The Euro Tour's trophies are so much better than the U.S., than the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
You know that, Sean? Overrated, underrated. PGA Tour trophies.
We've got the chicken.
The rooster. Same guy who did the rooster does the Valspar one.
Really?
Yeah.
Get that guy. Sign that. Oh, underrated that guy.
Yeah.
Got some intel on that.
you went long form on that.
Big Keith Pelley is probably listening, and he's probably going to sign him up to do exclusive Euro Tour trophies now.
I'm way in on the Euro Tour trophy. I think the PGA Tour can't claim, you know, the crown just because they award the CJ Cup was a plaque.
No, so what that is, that's every player in the field's name in Korean, and then they like bold the guy who wins.
All right. I'm telling you, the event is called the CJ Cup, and the trophy is not a cup. It's a plaque.
All right.
So, you know, I mean, just that nullifies the entire 49 event schedule.
You know what needs to go to?
That's called the cup, and you're giving out a plaque, a piece of wood.
Remember when Bay Hill used to give out the sword?
No jackets. No more jackets. There's a green jacket. No other championship gets to give out jackets. I'm so sick of the plaid
Bay Hill
jackets.
Started that cardigan tradition. That was pretty cool.
We have the cardigan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They just.
I don't know if that'll work with. It worked okay with, you know, Mark Leishman's physique, paunch. But I don't know if it'll work with kind of like, you know, Rory's in some blade or Tiger's in some yoked out blade collar and they want to put this, you know, baggy kind of poncho of a cardigan around it.
And can we talk about Tiger? He was wearing a t-shirt today. That was not even a blade collar. It was a t-shirt.
It is kind of like workout gear, you know? Blade collar.
It's not even a blade collar. It's a t-shirt.
It was definitely fitting. He was definitely trying to show off some physique.
Could always talk about the blade collar. You know, on Thursday, I think it was Thursday, he had on three different kinds of collars when it was chilly out. He had on a blade. He had the mock turtle down, then a blade over it, and then like a crew neck sweater. It's kind of like, you know, exploring new frontiers with a collar game.
It's like he was three at one ski, time. A ski resort.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
It was cold out here. Good performance, honestly, though. On a course he hasn't played in two decades, swirling wind. Narrow corridors. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah.
I would concur. I would agree.
So how many? Hey, over under 1.5 wins for Tiger this year.
The only down, he's not gonna play, he doesn't play that much. I'm gonna go, and he plays hard events. I'm gonna go over. I'm gonna go 2.
Under 1. We just tried to go through a schedule. It's just not that heavy. It doesn't need to be, but I think 1.
Who's going to have more wins, him or Rory this year?
Rory just gets going. I mean, do you count Euro Tour?
Yeah.
God. I'd say they both win once.
I like that take. Even though I'd say you win twice. Tiger wins 2-1.
All right.
Both.
He'll probably play like the Scottish Open, won't he?
Tiger.
Or like the Irish. He might play the Irish, the one the week before, because it goes Irish, then Scottish, then Open, right?
Yeah, but that conflict with the National?
Yeah, I mean, it was conflate with Avenel.
That's kind of like the Scottish Open, the way Stephen Britton, shout out, their super, gets it playing firm and fast. Yeah. That guy. Yeah. That guy.
It's pretty easy. It's easy to get Fescue playing firm and fast.
Yeah. So he got that place ejecting people last year. It was actually one of my most fun, I thought, most underrated tournament last year.
Well, if you come to town, let me know. We'll have dinner and a drink.
All right. All right. We're done. You guys, what are you guys writing? Do you guys have anything good going up today, tomorrow, today?
I wrote a column on just. It wasn't really a column. It was more of a kind of a gamer on his day. I saw Porter tweeted one out that, of course, people are getting fired up about, so I'm excited to read that one. Porter has good takes. I'm more of a newsy kind of guy. And then I'm going to write something about going forward. Where do we go from here? But it's hard, man, I saw him pour out before we started this thing. It's hard to write Tiger every day.
What? I mean, I agree with that, but not, like, coming out of this one. I don't know. I mean...
Yeah,
I'll have some notes up tomorrow. Kind of working more on longer stuff on him for the Masters, which I'm told people care about a lot. So I'll do some notes, amalgamation of takes, and for the morning.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Have a good one.
Yeah, we'll see you down the road. Yeah, bye.
You've been listening to the Fried Egg Podcast. We do the digging for you.